Regional Council. And that is submission 20. Kia ora and welcome, Horizons Regional Council. I think I recognise Mr. Shirley there.
Kia ora, John. Morena to you all. Can I just, I'll just have a fiddle with this, and so you can see the illustrious crew we've got here. So on over here is Sarah Carswell. Can I just introduce Sarah? She manages our district advice function, which essentially coordinates our responses to things like plan changes and what have you across the business. And over to my right, anyway, is Mark Reed. And Mark is our transport services manager. And so Mark is available to cover off any particular detail you might have relating to transport matters. And for the others, hi, everybody. I'm Jed Shirley. I'm a GM here at Horizons and look after a bunch of functions, but including transport and district advice. And good to see you again, John.
Yes, you too.
Shall I just kick into it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look, I think the submission's fairly self-explanatory, so I won't sort of tie you down by going through every bit of it at all here, but I did really want to hit a few points, and I guess the first one is that at a high level, there's a broad level of support from this organisation for this initiative. And what I wanted to really touch on today is you've noticed in the submission it's really, and we wanted to be heard because we wanted to just stress where we see some close alignment with some of the other strategic matters that we are involved in, particularly in the transportation space. There's two key aspects to our submission, as you've noted. Probably there's the resource management aspects, and then there's the transportation aspects. They're linked, but they're kind of quite disparate in some ways. And in terms of resource management matters, not surprisingly, there's a full gambit there of areas that need attention. And I guess in our submission, I guess the focus has been to just highlight that while we're in broad support, there are some of those matters won't be able to be worked through properly until the actual design is, you know, more fully developed and we get a sense of how things like flood risk and particularly stormwater management and things like that are going to be handled. But we note that it's a substantial site and you're not going to get a site that large in any part of the world, let alone New Zealand, I think, that doesn't encounter a lot of these challenges. We imagine that they are able to be mitigated. And in the case of this particular site, I think it's around 10 hectares of that 170 hectare site that we know is susceptible to surface flooding, largely due to the Mangoni catchment that is just to the north of that. So really that was the point in the submission, really was just saying that those matters will need some attention later. There's aspects there around biodiversity and some other ecological points, and I can take your questions and we can try and deal with those today if we need to. Sarah may wish to amplify on some things if you want. The other aspect is around transport. And there is a definite alignment with our strategic goals and visions for the region. We have couple of mechanisms. Firstly, the Regional Land Transport Plan and the submission that's referred to as a draft, that's now been approved in its entirety about two months ago. And it stresses the connectivity challenges for this part of New Zealand and indeed the Central North Island and the opportunities that exist. Those opportunities that we are seeing start now being addressed are as a result of, we think, a large level of underinvestment in this part of the world over the last 30 to 40 years. And now with things like Te Ahu Turanga, which is replacing the old gorge road and the highway now to the east, that's a step in the right direction. Another key part of our strategic transportation network, which we are talking with ministers about often, is the Otaki to North Levin link, which is now going to improve that north-south corridor. Alongside that is the improved passenger rail services. And where I'm getting to is the number one priority within the current RLTP is Harness North Integrated Transport Improvements Initiative, which is commonly referred to as the Freight Ring Road. Now, obviously, there's an implicit and intrinsic link between the proposed freight rail hub and that particular initiative, which both go hand in hand. And so that's why, at a strategic level, we see that this the freight rail hub has a very key, obvious link to the Palmerston North Integrated Transport Improvements package of works, which has been submitted to government earlier this year, has received funding to progress a number of the elements within it. It's not just about roading, it includes the urban design and streets for people projects that you might have heard about through the city. It is about urban design and linking that in with industry. So I think you'll probably hear from Accelerate 25, which is what I wanted to refer to next. It's another key initiative that we're closely aligned with. And I think Craig Nash will probably be talking to that. But I just wanted to stress here how closely those projects are linked, and that it's we constantly talk about now often, but this is not about now. It's the next 50 to 100 years and how these initiatives are going to unlock this part of New Zealand and its potential. So the other aspect within the transportation side of things, and it's getting into a little bit more detail probably, is obviously with this project, its integration with the local roading network is going to be crucial. So it's something we will be keeping a really close eye on. And it's something that we're talking to government about when we talk about the links with the new highway from Te Ahu Aturanga and linking Otaki to North Levin. We see this part of the world, they're all actually linked. They're not just discrete projects, but the freight hub fits right within all that, and it's actually a really good fit. And that's being proposed to be combined into one kind of broader project called the Central North Island Distribution Hub. And that's something that you've probably heard about, and you definitely will through A25. But from a regional council perspective, I just wanted to sort of highlight that we see those moving parts all as one from a regional wide perspective, whereas often they're talked about as a discrete project. So I'm sorry if I've harped on a bit, but we wanted to just really make the point that the freight hub itself, yes, it's a key strategic project on its own, but it has a really close and intrinsic link to those other big pieces of investment that are happening. The other thing I just want to touch on is public transport. And in the submission, we have highlighted that once this particular project gets refined, we'll need to know well in advance just how that might impact on the current public transport routes, because you need 12 to 18 months to get operators and their assets changed and everything put in place for new services. So that's just something to keep in mind. It's not a barrier. It's something that will, again, be linked into this initiative. That's about it from me. The only other, I'm filling you with acronyms. The other one is called Accessing Central New Zealand. It's a subgroup of the Regional Transport Committee that involves just the mayors, and it meets every sort of 2 months. And that's where this project, alongside the PNITI, Te Ahu Aturanga, Otaki to North Levin, the passenger rail, and other initiatives, are discussed at a reasonably frequent level, but in an informal way. And the purpose of that is to discuss how we will advocate and lobby for, the support we need to advance those projects, because they are so closely intertwined. I think that's about all I've got. Probably talking long enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shirley. I'll probably kick off the questions, if you don't mind. So Horizons is in many ways... got significant interests, I guess, in this project in terms of its regulatory and strategic functions. And the things that come to mind are, for example, testing and providing leadership in relation to the location of urban infrastructure appropriately within the region. Secondly, flood control. Thirdly, biodiversity. And fourthly, freshwater management. So there's a whole range of functions. And it seemed to me that your submission didn't want to get into the detail of the regulatory aspects of implementing this project, but looking at it at a sort of 10,000 foot level and saying, are there any major issues in those baskets that would likely give us concern, and does it fit, have a strategic fit in terms of regional development? Is that sort of how it's pitched?
Yes, essentially. That's the case, John, and largely because we don't have the detail to get into the detail yet for those other matters. The sense, though, is that to a large degree, without knowing the detail, they can be mitigated. But it's going to take more than just the regional council, as you can imagine, to deal with that properly. And I think we've already been part of a fairly joined up discussion between some of the, not just the like governmental organisations, but also landowners and other potential operators of that area, because I think it's going to be it's going to need everybody being part of the solution. Even though we have a discrete and rightly so regulatory function, for now we didn't feel it was appropriate to signal, other than we have, that there are some key matters there that will need some close attention, but we need to see some more detail before we can advance that properly.
Just while respecting the fact that it's not the time or place to get into the particular engineering or environmental solutions at that 10,000 foot level, we're obviously all aware that Mangoni can be a troublesome waterway when peak flows, and that's an area operationally of great interest in terms of managing hazards for the region. We received quite a lot of evidence from a gentleman called Mr. Leahy about broadly conceptually how they're intending to manage the stormwater from the site and the flows through to ensure that the flood flows are minimised. At an operational level, I assume that Horizons doesn't have a sense that this isn't an unachievable solution, and that with proper design, there is no reason to be overly anxious that the existing flooding risks will be worsened by a proposal of this type. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that's fair, John. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, matters like adequate stormwater detention and all that sort of thing are going to be crucial, but as they are in any major footprint of this sort of nature.
That the indication was, I think, that what the lakes are almost the size of the square, so they're very substantial stormwater infrastructure, something that we probably don't know much about in this region, but that's obviously trying to manage that flood issue. So I assume your operational team have at least got a sort of familiarity with it. In the biodiversity arena, we had evidence from, for example, Mr. Garrett Walker, indicating that there weren't any Schedule E habitat in that location. My visual assessment suggests that the ecological character of that area is not what I would describe as high value, and it doesn't indicate that that's completely unsuitable because of its ecological values for urban development. Again, is that a fair assessment of where Horizons at a 10,000 foot level sees it?
I might defer to Sarah. I would say that that's largely correct. It's a highly modified area, especially when you look at the Northeast Industrial area, which I hadn't mentioned, but there's that close link to that. Sarah, do you have anything?
Yeah, so I talked to our science team about the area in terms of biodiversity, to terrestrial and ecological assessments, and they thought from what they saw there needed to be some more assessments, particularly about any loss of wetland, which is under the National Policy Statement for Freshwater. That was when they had reviewed the NOR papers at that time. So I'd say that would still stand, that there'd be some further assessment. And I think there may have been some access troubles at the time of the NOR assessment. So our belief is there needs to be some more assessment, and particularly in any loss of wetland or waterways.
Right. Thank you. Now, in terms of urban infrastructure, the One Plan has quite a lot of policy detail around locating urban infrastructure adequately supported by facilities like water and other infrastructure so that it's fully integrated. And that, of course, leads to the regionally significant transport infrastructure. From what I hear you saying, that at that 10,000-foot level, which is not the level of actually creating the management plans that ensure continuity and integration with public transport and all those sorts of things, your view is that this proposed location is broadly consistent with what the regional plan is, policy statement, I should say, is contemplating. Is that
right? Yeah, I think I'll just, Mark, yeah.
I would say it's probably for me less about the location and more about what the proposed breakup is achieving.
I see. So you think that the actual outputs of a hub of this type are also broadly consistent with the thrust of the documents?
It certainly fits in well with the Palmerston North, or PNITI, as Jed mentioned, and its location. But in terms of being consistent with those objectives in the RLTP for the region, it's probably more about the outcomes or outputs of that.
Right. One of the significant issues that we identified as being potentially arising from an implementation of this project is dust. Given the scale of earthworks, which are unquestionably substantial to implement the rail platform that's proposed, and KiwiRail had in its evidence suggested that the regulatory system within the regional council's earthworks controls would be sufficient to address those. On the other hand, Palmerston North City is definitely seeking conditions that it would be managing to manage those dust nuisance effects. I'm just interested in your view. It seemed to me that the focus of the city is properly on the sort of nuisance and dust and health impacts, and the regional council would probably take a lead from the city council. But if I'm wrong about that, do you have a view on that, or is that outside your areas of expertise?
We do have a view on that. In terms of our consenting process and land disturbance consent, there would be a requirement to have and this would be imposed in the condition, to have a sediment control plan to reduce those adverse environmental effects. So in our own, under our One Plan, we would be taking that quite seriously, and there'd have to be robust evidence plans in place to reduce and mitigate those environmental effects.
And the sediment control, do you mean both discharges to air as well as to water?
I believe, yes, air, land and water.
I see.
Yeah, it would be more of a greater priority around the freshwater space and also any effects that are derived from that. But Sarah's right, in terms of, adverse effects beyond the boundary, if you like, of the operation, they would be similar to the concerns that the city would have. So I imagine any particular consent to operate would have adequate monitoring systems in place to deal with those types of things, just to keep everybody in the right place, because it'll be a case of often the case of these things, it's much about perception as it is about the actual facts. So, you're right. I can imagine dust, things like that, noise and all those things are going to be aspects that will need to be mitigated as best as they can.
And in the course of this hearing, we've had this suite of conditions which has been revised and supplemented. Would you like an opportunity to comment on the on a more mature version if it emerges as part of your function as the regional council, or are you content with the current state of play?
If it wasn't holding up the process too much, I think that would be useful. Because particularly if it helps the process further down the track, that may well, yeah. But a reason that we haven't come with a lot of detail, as you said, John, was just because a lot of it will depend on the final or the more refined construction design proposal, because that will then have a direct impact on what the assessment of effects are for things like particularly flooding and stormwater discharge and all that sort of thing. Right. So, yes, please.
All right. Thank you. That's all from me. Commissioner Sweetman.
Good morning. Nice to see you all virtually as well. I'm going to pick up from where the chair has just been going in terms of questioning, and probably aim very much at you, Ms. Carswell, in terms of the more detail around the distinction between the Section 30 and 31 functions of the Regional Council and Palmerston North City Council. So I'm not sure if you've had the opportunity to have a look at the council's draft suite of conditions at all.
Briefly, yes.
So one thing that we've identified, and certainly the Kiribel have identified as well, is just making sure that jurisdictions are correct in terms of the suite of conditions. So the council, Palmerston North City Council, has sought conditions around erosion and sediment control, around air quality monitoring, particulate matter monitoring, and around ecological matters as well. What is your view on where those matters should best sit?
I actually asked this similar question to our consenting team around the conditions, and I did circulate that around to them. On their opinion was that until there's more detail in the design and working through that consenting process, is at this point they're not actually sure what some of the conditions will be imposed by Horizons, so it's quite difficult to actually run through those conditions and say, yes, is that aligning with One Plan? Are those going to be the conditions that are going to be imposed as part of the regional consenting requirements? So we didn't, it's quite difficult. It does introduce some risk here, not being able to actually, put our hand on our heart and say that's going to be the conditions imposed, because at this point in time, we don't know.
So is there a risk there as well that there might be two different suites of conditions about the same thing requiring different things.
It could possibly, could be the case. Until there's detailed design assessment as part of that regional consenting process, we don't know what the conditions will be imposed at this stage.
No. But in terms of the matters that those conditions address, so we're looking at bulk earthworks and soil disturbance, we're looking at air discharges,
yes,
and we're looking at terrestrial and aquatic biodiversity.
Yes.
Those are regional council functions, as far as I'm aware, in terms of Manawatū region, is that correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Thank you. That's all the questions from me. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Pamari.
Kia ora, Mr. Shirley. Tēnā koutou katoa. Ngā mihi nui mō tō tuhinga kōrero. Thanks very much for your submission. Just to follow on from some of the questions that have already been asked, perhaps in a little bit more detail in relation to cultural effects. You say in your submission that Horizons considers the freight hub and notice of requirement assessments have a broad alignment with the Horizons 1 plan. But I'm just wondering about cultural effects here, in relation to which, of course, no assessment has been undertaken or provided as part of the NOR application. Has there been any consideration of whether the proposal would broadly align with the one plan in terms of cultural effects?
No. I don't think would be the honest answer. Not to any great degree. I think that's a very important aspect, and it's something that we would be taking a bit of lead from, especially for the local iwi and hapu. And I imagine they're engaged in this process as well. Well, I know they are. But it's not something that we've commented on, as I understand it, in any detail at this point. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. So in paragraph 6 of your submission, I think there you talk about the communication and engagement process with KiwiRail over future consenting requirements. And taking on board what you just said about the cultural effects, I understand there probably hasn't been any specific engagement in that respect. But in light of the concerns raised by iwi in their submissions, that Te Mana o Te Wai will not likely be upheld due to the extensive modification of the local catchment and removal of some of the water bodies. I'd be interested to know whether there's been any engagement with KiwiRail over policy requirements specifically to do with Te Mana o Te Wai and giving effect to those requirements as part of the regional consenting process?
Not that I'm aware of at this point, no. But certainly needs to be at the appropriate time if that, there hasn't been as far as I know.
Okay.
But I would probably, reintroduce the idea that it is a fairly highly modified environment, that particular area, and just how strictly that's applied in that instance. I'm certainly not of a, I certainly don't have the ability to speak to that in any detail.
I guess what I'm trying to get at here is whether there are any concerns from Horizon's point of view about about the ability of KiwiRail to establish a clear consenting pathway, including identifying any potentially viable options for offset or compensation, should that be necessary, particularly in relation to the Te Mana or Te Wai issues.
That's probably not something I'd really want to comment on, their ability or otherwise. I know that the land purchase or a purchase of this size hasn't been undertaken by KiwiRail or its predecessors in decades. And talking to some of their senior people, I know that they have been working really hard to try and to upskill themselves, both in capacity and capability in this respect. So, you know, I would imagine that it needs to get the attention it needs, but I wouldn't really want to comment too much on that. I guess hope that will be the case. Well, it has to be, really.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate your time. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thank you. Commissioner Mackinson.
Good morning. I have a few questions, fairly predictably around the transport side. And I was just wondering, Mr. Reid, if you could give me a little more information around the RLTP and when you anticipate funding to be available and for what aspects of the freight ring road.
So was that, so the middle part of the question was that when we anticipate the funds to be available? Is that,
So for what aspects, what funding timeframes have you got? You know, what's actually covered?
So the funding has just been approved for the next 3 years through the LTP as of last week. I understand that Palmerston City Council has funding approved for elements around the site, so say the intersection of Roberts Line and Corrigan Bunnythorpe Road for improvements, so safety and access improvements there. Future funding in terms of the ring road is planned in future years beyond the next 3 years and would be expected to be funded through the National Land Transport Fund, NLTP, NLTF, sorry for all the acronyms, and potentially via Palmerston City Council. Those approvals would come effectively during the next three-year approval process. So in the 2024 sort of RLTP, LTP phase. So there is some investment in the next 3 years, but the majority of the large works around the ring road work are phased in future years beyond this current 3 years.
So for the current 3 years, what is the funding actually for in relation to the freight hub? Is it for design investigations? Is it for, you know, preliminary works? I'm just really trying to understand the level of certainty that we might have around that freight hub. The hub ring road actually happening, because it is as a matter of significant concern for a lot of submitters.
So it's probably a question best asked to Palmerston City Council. I have just come out of Palmerston City Council, so I know what the answer is to that, which is for that intersection I mentioned, that Roberts Line and Crane Basil Road, there is funding for design and construction in this 3 year period. Beyond that, off the top of my head, I don't believe there is anything else, but there would also be other growth programs in the Northeast Industrial Zone. So I think potentially things like Richardson's Line, which is obviously adjacent to the site as well. But that's infrastructure more to support the existing Northeast Industrial Zone rather than the KiwiRail proposal site.
Okay. Perhaps could I just jump in and just add to that, and apologies if you're already aware of this, but to get to the stage we are at now where the Palmerston North Integrated Transport Improvement Freight Ring Road project work was able to be submitted as part of the RLTP. There's already been 2 to 3 years worth of work to get to that point, including multi-millions of dollars funded through the Transport Agency to do the business case for that, which involves 8 separate programs of work that go as far as Second Bridge and all the rest of it. As Mark's just alluded to, there is some funding that we can't call the detail of for what's happening in this next 3 years, but it is the ball is rolling, but it is going to be over the next 10 to 12 years to actually have that realised. There's a reference group that had its first meeting 2 weeks ago that involves the mayors and chief executives of the key agencies, including Kiwi Rail, and the steering group, which will involve myself, that has been coordinated through Palmerston North City and Kiwi Rail, is in the processes of being set up and meets in the next 2 weeks, I think. So, I mean, those are just probably detail you don't want to necessarily know, except to say that there is a very joined up process underway to move those 8 programs of work forward. But they haven't all just been given approval by government to be funded completely at the moment. But they will be fundamental to the long-term, the long-term efficiency that is the region, the Kiwi Rail Freight Hub, obviously. And in the interim, the current network, it is hoped, will be able to plug into what is actually developed. But over time, it's going to need something more substantial, I think.
So thank you. That is actually extremely helpful, and that detail is reassuring. So realistically, from your perspective, would I be right in concluding that the Hub Ring Road forms part of that fundamental linking of your wider transport projects, such as the Otaki to North Lavin, the Te Ahuraturanga overall package, if you like?
Absolutely, and probably we should have shared with you some great graphics and maps that would have helped illustrate that. Maybe, I'm not sure if the city provided those. And that part of a package we use when we're talking with ministers, because it's about, in a wider spatial sense, joining these things up. I mean, at the moment, as you know, the State Highway 3 goes through the middle of town, and that is not a long-term proposition for the city of Palmerston North. And so that's why the PNITI, or the Freight Ring Road, not the best term, Freight Ring Road, because it's more than that, is going to be so crucial to the long-term efficiency of moving things in and out of central New Zealand or central North Island. And it's just not about Palmerston North, actually. It's wider than that. Because there's the Martin Freight Hub work that's been advanced around the logging facility there. And they, when you look at them more spatially, they all join up. They're all part of a bigger jigsaw puzzle. And the freight hub, the Kiwi Rail Freight Hub, is one of those parts of the jigsaw.
Thank you. So I have a couple of more detailed questions around the draft consent conditions. And these relate to, I think, submission point 23. From your submission, which was around the road network integration plan. And you've stated here that it should be reviewed maybe 3 to 6 monthly. And I understand the importance of review. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts going on and lots of funding partners and stakeholders. So if I could take you to, I think it's draft condition 50, part I, Roman I, if you have that.
Can Sarah just take a moment to grab it?
Absolutely.
So, Commissioner Mackinson, is that the 13 August 21 version?
Yes, that is.
Well, they may have a different version, so we'll just have to check what version.
This is the 13th of August?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
Was it
23? 50. It was 23 now. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. It's 50. It was 53. That's it. 50. Yeah.
And it was now. Lowercase c and lowercase I, so it's 50 lowercase I, so the last clause of that draft condition. And it basically is suggesting that the timing of reviews of the road network integration plan are basically set out the plan itself. And I just have a question as to whether that gives you sufficient comfort without the dates actually, or the frequency of updates being specified, whether you have sufficient comfort that there will be a sufficiently frequent review to make sure that the road network integration plan actually keeps up with changes, plans by Palmerston North, City Council, yourselves, and Waka Kotahi.
I imagine a little more specificity would be useful, although I can appreciate the challenges you have with doing that. As long as the key intent that we're after is able to be looked after, and I guess the city would have us, and Manawatu District as well actually would have a similar interest. It's really just making sure that, because it's not just about cars and things, we're trying to think about the active, the walking and cycling network and all the rest of it, and making sure that, and we only can see that with a reasonably regular, proactive revisit of how things are working. We want to be able to nip things in the bud and be able to manage that ahead of time, because if we don't, we can easily end up in a situation where things like passenger transport and the rest of it is adversely affected by a construction decision made well in advance. That's all. That's part of it. I think, Mark, do you think that?
I mean, I would say, if I took 6 months as a time frame, we might suggest if you go one beyond that, it might be 12 months. A lot can happen in 12 months, especially with our sort of 3-year planning and funding cycles. So 12 months, especially once the key rail proposal is potentially in design, could be too long. I think that it wouldn't be unreasonable to set a frequency through the conditions, and it would certainly give us a bit more comfort that we're going to get the outcome we're after in that space.
Yeah, it's often the intent gets confused with the letter of the law, but it's more about things I've just sort of mentioned, and wouldn't be wanting to hold things up, but it's about having that, that forward-thinking discussion so we can manage those other matters outside of the immediate confines of what will be the freight hub, and just make sure that everything else can work in and around it. Mm.
Okay. If we look at condition 49, clearly the plan itself needs to be prepared in conjunction with yourselves, Manawatu District, Waka Kotahi, and Palmerston North City Council. And part H of condition 50 requires details of feedback provided by yourselves to be incorporated in the plan. Are you comfortable that there is enough inclusion of your views and opinions within this framework to make sure that it does actually pick up all the matters that you've just discussed, and you're making sure that PT isn't unduly impacted by construction, traffic, and all those elements? Because I'm just a little concerned that you get to be part of the production up front. Your feedback is included, but I'm not seeing anything in here that actually sets up a framework for making sure that you're part of the review process and that there's an actual ongoing conversation.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Judith, and we're not sure whether to make a massive point of it. It's just that we were seeking to add value to what I see as the intent here, is that everyone's in the loop. By being a bit more specific about a framework, then it might just make sure, as you say, that after things get launched and everyone gets excited and runs away and starts building things, that we do have touch points where those other matters are considered. I would assume that that would be the case, but, you know, it doesn't always, assumptions aren't always the best thing to
thought.
And there's just so much other stuff happening, pardon the word stuff, but other things happening in and around the Kiwi Rail Freight Hub that involve, you know, transportation, but I'm talking, as I said, the walking and cycling and the recreation and stuff, passenger transport and other things. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you. That was my last question. Thank you for your time today.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Shirley and the Horizons team. It's been very informative. Two items of homework. In those conditions, version 13 August, Horizons is mentioned 8 times as a stakeholder, mostly in the context of transportation. Just 2 questions. First, keep an eye on the iterations and you can let us know if you have any concerns about them, but also check that version. And if you want to be a consulted party in respect of any management plan, could you identify that? And in respect of the 2 strategic maps that Mr. Shirley mentioned are shown to ministers to give a reflect their short attention span and lack of available time to understand the integrated aims of the region, could you send 2 PDF versions or 2 of those in PDF? They may be the same ones that are attached to the evidence of Mr. Murphy, who's the Chief Planning Officer at the Council, but they may not be and they could be useful, so if we could have those, that'd be appreciated.
Would you like us to send them through to Kath Oliver?
Yes, please, and she'll circulate them for us.
Thank you.
Other than that, thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you. Kia ora.